Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to my apartment, Brad. I don't know how to start this because it's not funny. I don't want to be like, you know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Now, we're coming to you from a variety of different outlets. We've got our Britney podcast.
Hello, everyone. You may be listening on the Britney podcast feed, or you may be listening in the Legends Only feed.
Correct.
If you've been following the Britney podcast, you are like, where did they go? I haven't heard from them in forever. But we have another podcast called Legends Only, and it's a separate podcast. And we've been following the story about
Britney weekly. Yeah. So that
over
might
the
be
past year and a half. We've been following the story, framing Britney Spears, the reports, all everything. We've been following there in a little Britney section.
We have, but you know, something that we said from the beginning was our hesitance to weigh in much was because we didn't have her actual voice, and now we do. And so it's only fitting that we do a whole episode dedicated to Britney's testimony, our thoughts about it. Essentially, I kind of felt like we needed a group therapy session, and we did do that. If you do listen on Legends Only, we did a live chat immediately after this for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And we sort of all...
It was the day after, right?
Yeah. Right after. Everyone was kind of processing things, anger, confusion, depression. And I thought it was really helpful. And everyone... thank you to everyone who like called in or, you know, chatted in to give their thoughts and stuff. And, you know, we care about her. She's our fave. And we're sort of just like feeling all the feelings right now about what she said. And we would just want to talk about it and, you know, give our thoughts as well. Because... we did intend to do that once she spoke out on her behalf.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, it did take a very long time to get to this point.
It did, but
delays.
I'm very happy that we're here now.
Yeah.
And we're here now too.
It's been a while, but we are here now.
Exactly. To always loop it back to her. Yes. So the first thing I just want to say is that is the first time that we have heard her voice uninterrupted, I want to say, for that long in 13 years. I cannot think of a time we've heard her just speak for that long. And I think that was the first thing that hit me was like, oh, she's just talking. Like, because we've been so used to these really hard to watch Q&As at this point. That's the most she speaks that are just like, what's your favorite type of ice cream? That we never really got like some sort of candidness.
Yeah.
And so it was really
refreshing. Like a real sit down talk.
And you can hear it in her voice, you know, chaotic for the record, just ways that when we hear her speak, that we know that's really her, there's a different tone and a different, and there was passion and rightful rage in her voice.
Yeah. So a lot of people were saying in the live chat,
the Britney-isms
were there.
They were that giggle we'll get to. And it was refreshing. I mean, so much of this is horrifying and depressing, but at the same time, there's a sense of relief to it because it's like, okay, she did speak. Like it's just like nice to hear her. I've been trying to process what I've been feeling for the past few days. It's been fury, confusion, depression. My friend Simon referred to it as a mourning of what we once knew and a more innocent time. I'm having a really hard time reconciling my relationship to her music because in her artistry, especially post 2008, we talked about this in the chat, because I now worry that I helped fund something that maybe she was under duress or stress or something when she was making, like, there's a certain guilt that I immediately feel.
I feel that.
And I'm just kind of reconciling that. However, I know that Britney would not, I don't know for a fact, but I would think she would want her art to inspire people and entertain people, even if she was not necessarily willing. If she inspired somebody, I'm sure she's happy for that. But it is like a gross feeling. Like we've spent thousands of dollars on merchandise, tours, flights, tickets on the Britney brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this conversation coming around Matches and the Glory re-release, and people were pretty split on, like, should we buy it now that we know that this machine,
mm-hmm.
you know, she had started to speak out legally, I believe, through the paperwork. And yeah, I was sort of on the side of feeling gross about it and didn't at that time. And I don't think anybody is wrong in this situation as a fan for how to interact with her content. But yeah, it definitely was like, fuck, especially like thinking of the tours that did feel more unwilling, like Femme Fatale, how she really didn't, we talked about in 2011. It's like, oh God, like you just feel bad.
Yeah. Well, and in relations to Vegas with her own words, when she said she didn't want to do that tour, and I immediately thought of Atlantic City.
Oof, yeah.
Which that was,
yeah.
I mean, we should go through this, like, I feel like piece by piece, but.
We should. You know, and I'll just say also from the beginning, the fandom always generally agreed something felt strange and far too controlled for the past 13 years. We've always said that. But it really started to hit the fan, as we know, because we were mid-podcast doing the domination cancellation, the unwilling, the way that she looked at the launch ceremony, the social media hiatus. Her hiatus from the social media to the, now we know, forced against her will rehabilitation. Like, it all sort of started coming to a head then, and we said that we were backing off and did not want to weigh in, which earned us some backlash and some questioning as our intentions. But it was always because, to make it very clear, we lived through 2007. We saw what media intrusion has done to her before, and it was horrifying to see this sort of happening again.
Yeah.
However, it is very clear that something has been wrong here for a long time. And so, you know, just to clarify, I don't regret our stance of leave Britney alone, which will always be mine. I will always want her to just be able to do whatever she wants and retire and, like, enjoy the kids. Like, please, you've been through enough. But ironically, it now feels like the public needs to be in her business to get people out of her business.
Huh.
Like, clearly,
that's a really interesting way of putting it.
We had to knock at the walls and or scream, whatever. And something had to come to a head for her to find the courage and strength and bravery, which she has so much of, to speak out, including, you know, and I do think Sam probably does help as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's where we're at right now. And so, yeah, we can talk about where we're at with, you know, what she said. And, you know, I there were so many interesting things that to think about in retrospect, like, I told the world I was fine, I was not fine, really makes me think of our constant struggle, the fans, in fighting over whether it's really her on Instagram, because there was authenticity there.
Yeah.
There was, like, very clearly someone, even either her or social media managers, painting a sort of picture of a happy person. And we all sort of felt
giving us the Britney brand. Yeah.
But we all couldn't help but feel like something was awry. Now it turns out either it's her or her manager, we're trying to paint a pretty picture.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it herself. I pretended I was fine. I was not fine. So now it sort of casts doubt over everything she posts, because it's like, we now know all of these true feelings. You know, I think there's going to be such a hyper lens over everything. And we don't know.
No.
Because this first post back, as we pointed out in the
It was chat, an unanswered question, I think, from her testimony, was there was no specific mention of Instagram.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I understand where...
Right. I definitely feel that it isn't clear. And there's other parts that I'll talk about that aren't clear, because she did use some blanket terms about people as well. So back when the conservatorship first started, we've talked about this too. There was a general feeling among fans that Britney's family was, like, stepping in to protect her from a dark period then.
Yeah, to save her.
Right. Not everyone, we're not speaking on behalf of everyone, but, you know, there was sort of like this feeling like, oh, Britney's family is stepping in because it's gone too far. We had the Sam Lutfi stuff, the Adnan stuff, the paparazzi chases, all of course the head shave, all of it. And so we were like, okay, temporarily, it looks like her family has to step in. But then it didn't go away.
Right. There was never a roadmap for what this was and how we were going to phase it out.
And we had heard that she was already, you know, trying to, that there were promises made to get out of it, sort of by fulfilling the role of the circus tour, things like that. We had started to talk about that on the pod. And it kept going. And then it was like, is this thing supposed to make money for people? Is that how this works? And what is... Because at the heart of our hesitation as well, again, not everyone liked us for this, is that allegedly there was a mental health or a medical issue that was at the heart of this that we were not allowed to see or touch or know about. So we wanted to protect that because if it was true, as we were told it was, then we didn't want to pry. If she and her family doesn't want us to know about that, like a do not interrogate this as like a false flag, maybe.
Yeah.
So, and that is maybe like one of the most evil things about this is like, because mental health is so stigmatized and everyone's so sensitive around it. We were so like, please stop prying into her life because there's something there. If there's nothing there or just like something that can be perfectly handled without a structure like in conservatorship, what a betrayal of trust and like, the you know, a
that's
sabotage.
What I felt a lot mm-hmm. because I remember I felt like you said, when conversations started going around, I felt like there was a lot of commentary in press. And I mean, we scolded Wendy that one time she went on and she was using those words and the way that she was describing mental health. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it kicked up a lot of really inappropriate, negative things being said about medication and mental health and treatment.
Yes.
And I remember just being so angry. And then, like you said, it was like they waved that in front of us as like, well, she's going through something, but we can't tell you.
Yes, yes. And everyone like said that. Larry said that. Everyone said that. Like, you cannot know about this. There is a medical reason. And so we were like,
and
okay,
so I was empathetic with
okay,
that.
Like, we'll believe that. Like, I wouldn't call it naive, whatever it is. It's just like, you don't want to think that they're all saying that and that it's false, because that sounds like the plot of a horror movie, as we were discovering this is, basically. We didn't know, and Larry also said this line too, we don't know what we don't know, and we didn't. We didn't know what was behind this, you know, curtain mm-hmm. of like what she might have or whatever.
And we didn't know how she felt about it.
Exactly. Like there, and that's another big thing. We're always told she had never petitioned to file to remove the conservatorship entirely. So we were like, maybe it protects her finances. Maybe it's something she does like in some way because it is a protection of some kind. We don't mm-hmm. know because she never filed it. Now, as she spoke out and said she was just learning that she could petition.
Yeah.
Which was a horrifying statement because you've got a court-appointed attorney. What is this lawyer's motives there? That's a little alarming. Very alarming. You know, like that was, I mean, there were many bombshells, but it's like, you didn't know that you could petition? Like, who didn't tell you? And, you know, you speak to your lawyer so much, like, how could that be? But it's also entirely plausible that they just told her this is the arrangement, period.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the scary things about the testimony. But yeah, so to actually talk about it itself.
Let's actually talk about the moment itself.
Yeah.
So I listened to this live.
Yes.
I was on the LA County radio. It was legal for me to do this. Mm-hmm. I was like sitting, listening. I got in early and I was just listening to the thing.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't even know. I felt like I was being so invasive. And I was laying on my couch listening to it. Mm-hmm. And I started sobbing because I was like, because she was whispering. She was whispering
at first
to Sam. And she was like, oh, there's a technical difficulty. And then she said something like, last time I had to wait 3.5 hours. And I was sitting there and I was this is the moment that this is all I've wanted was just to hear her.
Her, yeah.
And so.
And to that point, what changed everything was the validation of her saying multiple times, oh, this is live. Good. I want the public to hear mm-hmm. this. Because
it started off with that.
Yes, because I still felt extremely gross about all of it until she said, I wanted to do an interview. Actually, scratch that. This is live. I just found out. Like, good. Mm-hmm. And that tells me she wants us to hear it. She wants us to know it's okay to talk about.
Yeah.
Because
first thing she said, she was like, mm-hmm. they've done a good job exploiting my life. I want this to be open.
It
was
yes, like, boom, period.
Right out the gate.
Yes.
Assertive, confident. She went right back at the other attorney and was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say the word proud a lot during this whole thing, but like, I cannot emphasize how proud I am of her enough because of the strength and bravery that she showcased throughout all of this. It's phenomenal. Despite it being horrifying, it's what a phenomenal like job she did.
Yeah.
Because the mile a minute testimony that she was, you know, every time the judge told her to slow down, she said, oh, okay. But she couldn't. And there, it was a little funny, but it's because it's Brittany and we like love her. Like, but it's horrifying because basically she is squeezing 2 to 3 novels worth of trauma and abuse into the 20 minutes that she could.
Yeah.
She can't slow down because there's so many things that went wrong that she wants to talk about.
Well, I also felt like, too, I mean, think of how long and the delays that it's taken to get here.
I mean, she said from the gate, she was like, the last time you saw me, like you acted like I, you know, it takes so long to get to speak.
That window of time.
She said 2 years, right? I think.
Yeah.
Because that was just squeezing 2 years worth of trauma in there. She was like, last time you saw me, like you looked at me like I didn't even, I forget the exact wording, but it was like, you didn't hear me. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of her. I'm really proud of her for acknowledging that it was public, because I think as Iggy Azalea recently said, like it's embarrassing clearly that she has to say all of this and stuff as it is, like, because people were prodding Iggy to speak out as well, who's under NDA. She's worked with her, and she famously shared that her house was searched before the funny salad stories that Britney kept telling, which is already, to be honest, that tells us all we need to know already. Like, yes, she very well have more to say, but like to know that there's searches of places before Britney goes everywhere is earth shattering. Like that's wow already. We had thought maybe it had something to do with sobriety or something, but who fucking knows anymore? But yeah, the way that she was like tripping over her words to get to the next thing was like heartbreaking, because it's like she had so much to say about all of the things. So as someone, as both of us who were so stubbornly obsessed with her privacy, I just felt like really assured that she wanted us to know.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt too.
Like we were, to some people who did not like it, like we were too, not too, but we did not want to invade this space, the court documents flying around, things like that. And now it's like, no, she fully is like, look.
Yeah, she wants us to know.
Yeah.
Now she made it clear.
And so our opinion has changed as well. Like our, now that she's invited us in, yes, as I said before, we need to be in her business, I guess the public does, to get people out of her business. It's complex. It's a tightrope to walk. Yeah, so, you know, there were so many points of horror, though, that...
There were a lot of smoking gun bombshells in this that were, in my opinion,
shocking.
Worse than anything that has come out in any sort of reporting over the past 2 years.
Yes.
Any of the hearsay, this, that, there were things that she said that none of us knew.
No. The high level, some plot points, I guess, the Vegas story of coming off stage and signing for Domination on the spot felt like a mafia story. It felt like they just like cornered her and were like, you're going to sign this or we'll sue you or something like that. And it was like, what? Why even use that tactic? She would probably be a willing participant if you gave her a moment to breathe. Like that was so over the top. And we all agreed at the time that Domination came too soon. It was strange.
It was very rushed.
Like around the corner. It didn't make sense. She even said in the testimony, like, I had just needed a little break. Like, I had just done Piece of Me forever. We make fun of how long Piece of Me went on. It was like she...
Well, now, and I understand now when people would say, oh, she doesn't seem like she wants to be up there.
Well, fucking, yes.
Now, like, she said it. She said, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And now Atlantic City, we talked about Atlantic City.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, there's a dark energy here. And maybe it's just the venue.
No.
Maybe it's the carpet. Like, I literally was just like, it's the venue and the carpet and the chairs.
The carpet was bad, but no.
It was. It smelled.
Yes.
But like,
no, it was more
than
that. She
did not want to do that tour.
Right.
She did not want to be at, when we went and saw her at Radio City, she didn't want to be up there.
No. No, and it's and that goes back to my point at the very beginning of like, oh my God, was I helping to fund something so dark? Which I think a lot of fans are reconciling in their heads.
Yeah.
I don't think we feel guilt, need to feel guilt, but I do think...
No, because I do think she loves the fans and she wanted us to hear this.
Of course, but I do think like everyone is feeling a bit somber about that. Like
they are.
That was a really bad moment because it sort of solidified that like her choice, it wasn't fully her choice to go on that tour and surely not Domination and things. And we did, she talked about the rehearsals and a different dance move landing her basically in rehab because she disagreed, which was again shocking and a display of her awful father's like desire to control every part of this.
And the way she described it as the way it felt like everyone ganged up on her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It just is
repeatedly. There's so many parts of this where it feels like there's a group of people ganging up on her.
Yeah.
Which should not be, let's say the conservatorship was supposed to be good. Like, that's not how it should be run. There should be no intimidation tactic, no thing that makes, there should be better good than harm. It's just like, and I don't, you know, it's becoming clearer and clearer that something of this structure is not what was needed.
Right.
Because I don't think it's controversial to say, I don't think so, that Britney, I've always believed, has needed help, certainly from 2007 and especially now, has needed a form of help, not a conservatorship, but a team of good-hearted people who care about her health, safety, and finances. And that's not rare. That is...
No, it's not.
All major celebrities have a team around them. Now, of course, there's plenty of corruption and all of that and stuff, but there needed to be a team that actually cares about her. To be giving her lithium and all that nightmare was like, she knew exactly what it did to her, that made her feel drunk and stuff. What a horrifying account. And I think Lewis Walsh also alleged that she was on lithium during X Factor, I believe, or there was an allegation of something really heavy there, which we, at the time, we didn't have a word for it or know what to say about it, but something was very off. And being there for the tapings, as we talked about, was off. And
that's also, there's another part of this conversation, too. I want to be very clear. It's not to demonize medication.
No. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think we need to.
We can clarify.
There's two things happening at the same time here. One, I don't want to demonize medication and treatment because medication is something that some people require and is life-saving, and it can get people out of bed in the morning and function and do what they need to do to live their life happily, safely, etc. However, there's also, and this also all plays into the negative stigma around mental health, is there are, unfortunately, doctors who abuse that.
Yes. I've
been through it myself.
Yes. Misdiagnosing, wrong medicine, wrong dosage.
Throwing something at someone and just being like, we don't need to go down that path.
Exactly. Like, no.
I know.
It's true. And I, you know, this thing in place was allegedly to help her. And it sounds like certainly she is not in a good place. So my whole thing is
Her words were, I'm depressed.
Yeah. And traumatized. And I don't believe you can be someone like Britney Spears and not go through life without a significant amount of trauma through the exploitation that you've faced before the conservatorship and after. I just don't think so.
I think
she'll always need help and from good-hearted people in ways that she approves of and likes and feels that are helpful for her. Now, the lighthearted moment of the thing was she said, you know, at first she was like, I don't even believe in therapy. And then 5 seconds later, she goes, all right, I could use a little bit of therapy.
Yeah, we got the Britney giggle.
We got the Britney giggle. And it was just like, that's Britney. Like, there's the humor there that we love. And like, she acknowledged. And that is the least she could say of what she needs. I'm sure, like, yes, she does. She's been taken advantage of from the jump.
I thought that was such a bright spot in this because she really, throughout most of the testimony, that's what it's called, right? She was so powerful and she was so assertive and she was angry and she was pointed and she was really going in there. And to have that little break in seriousness and hear her giggle, the fact that she can even have any sense of humor at all after everything that has been done to her is, which we can talk about like later, but that is Britney Spears, the resilient human that we stand.
Right, the stronger queen. That is exactly why we stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was one of the standout
absolutely
moments.
Oh, absolutely. Because it also normalized the concept. Like, there's nothing wrong with the fact that she probably will always need some sort of help from the lifestyle that she has lived.
Yeah.
It is not in the form of a conservatorship, clearly, and not those people, any of those people. And that's the thing I also wanted to talk about. If you're listening on the Britney pod, we had not really discussed this on there, but like at the point where she said she was afraid of her father, I think that is even before when we started only talking about on Legends Only, we hadn't had a Britney episode yet. But leading up to this testimony, we were every week we're like, what do you think is going to happen? And we were like, okay, well, she said she wants her father out. So we were like, okay, she wants her father out, It's going to be that. She's just going to voice
that. And then he was temporarily removed, right?
From that happened too between the time we recorded last for Britney pod. And the thing is, and she of course did call out her gross father, but she used blanket terms. She said, what my family did to me, what my management did to me, point blank, period. She used family and management. She didn't name names. She just said blanket, which
she did specifically call out her father.
Well, yes, I'm saying like she, of course, we kind of knew this father who is universally loathed and like is an absolute fucking...
I think he needs to go to jail, and I'm not kidding. I'm being dead
serious.
Oh,
no, like, well, now...
And I'm allowed to say that because of my First Amendment rights, right?
Yes, I think so. But yes, we're being presented with information. And so the next point that we'll talk about is, like, why that might actually happen. But...
It should. He broke the law.
But the thing is, we knew he was trash. Like, we knew... Like, going into this, that was not a surprise. The thing that is a bombshell to me is her saying the words family and management. She would just say father if she meant just father. I don't know where that lands. Like you, you and I especially were very holding out hope about Jamie Lynn because of what we've seen of her. But it's also like damning and incriminating to just say family. Like she did not specify. And I feel like that is...
Especially because so much of her testimony was so specific and pointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you where it did feel like she was talking about
everyone.
Mom, dad, sister, brother.
Yeah, certainly brother, because she did allude to my family's out there making fucking interviews. And it's like, he did the interview.
I felt like that was alluding to the podcast thing that he did.
Yeah, it was a super misogynistic, awful interview where
we talked about that on Legends Only.
Yeah, we did. So there was that, but there was, I mean, Jamie Lynn has given interview. They all have. Like, even Jamie and Lynn have talked, I think, to like Page Six and like very short statements about it. So as of right now,
we think she meant Felicia, right?
I hope not. Felicia did post the Free Britney right before. I
don't think so.
Of all the names of people in her orbit that I would accuse, it like I feel like she's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't feel...
Because Felicia doesn't even fall into those two buckets.
She was very confused about the hiring of her, the rehiring of her for, like, Circus Beyond. Like, she didn't understand the... She knew something changed financially. Yeah. I don't believe she...
I don't believe that
we're holding out for fee, of course. Yeah. But, all right, Angel. You know, we're not going to make allegations about each one individually, but just know that she said family, period, which is very damning. And
management.
And management, which, of course, we had heard leading up to this a ton about Lou Taylor. But then, I am mostly disappointed in Larry because, I guess naively, I did feel a sense of sort of like a fatherly looking after her after everything that she had gone through in 07. And so it's super disappointing.
And he's a dad, like, he's a father himself. It's like...
Yeah, well, so is her father. But I think that that was just depressing. And, you know, reading, this is maybe silly, but reading Mariah Carey's book last year and us discussing the plot points of that really made me reconsider everything I thought I knew about. And it's a bit naive to think of, like, of course, fame and family don't mix. But to see Mariah's family get picked apart one by one through greed and asking for favors and money and crime, all of those things, who is to say the same did not happen to Britney? It certainly feels that way. And so even reading that book made me really quiet down about, you know what? I know the allegations are flying everywhere about everyone in her orbit, and I'm just going to not even defend anybody because I don't know anymore. And to have her say family was like, well, fuck, we don't know at all. And that's the major taking from this is, you know, I really feel like what we've also said on the podcast a lot, because we had very high level speculated about the mental illness that they said was behind the closed door, is she could be an invaluable contribution to the discourse around mental health, just like Mariah's come out, Demi's come out, to normalize it and say it's okay and share her experiences about it. If she's comfortable one day, still, it's her choice. But it gave me just the therapy thing and openly talking about that she takes medicine was already a great start, because it shouldn't be demonized. You shouldn't feel bad about it. She should not feel bad about the fact that life has handed her so many shitty situations that, of course, she is a human who needs to process extreme trauma. Like, and you think about everyone who's taken advantage, it comes from all sides. It comes from management. It comes from exes. It comes from family. It comes from everybody, which is sort of what Framing did a good job of, framing Britney Spears.
Yeah, the New York Times documentary.
Because it was sort of like clips of everything that has happened, but it sort of showed how at all sides she's been failed. But yeah, and I think getting back to some of her points, the fact that she prayed and was happy that a doctor died.
That was,
That's,
I think,
a bombshell.
That was, the second most shocking thing, I feel.
And I'm not going to, we're not judging any fans or anything, but like, I remember when the doctor died, there was the alternative theory that like he was going to
help.
So now we know she did not like him.
Yeah.
There was some theory that like, oh, maybe he was going to help with the diagnosis to get her out or whatever it was. No, this.
That was the exact opposite.
Exact opposite. She definitely did not like him. And that one sent chills for me because...
Oh, that one rattled me because she's a spiritual person, and that was...
To wish death or to pray...
That's heavy.
For death is super heavy. You don't know what happened behind closed doors. God only knows. Like, who knows? It's just... It's too much. It's so... To be thankful for a doctor's death, jeez, it's...
It's chilling.
It's chilling. We don't know. She named so many different... By the end, she was sort of like frantically being like, and then three people come here, and then six people come here, and I see them four times. And it just underscored how much surveillance and evaluation she undergoes.
Yeah.
And she sounds so tired of it. And she's like, I want it to end without another evaluation. I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
I was
really proud of her for calling out the hypocrisies in the way that, you know, when she was saying that she was at the treatment facility, she's like, why did everyone else not have to follow and do what they were supposed to do? And I did. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah,
you know, drawing attention to the fact that she was still doing everything that was being asked of
being
her.
Being asked of her. Yeah.
Other people weren't.
One of the big themes is basically, I've done what you've said for 13 years, and yet it still feels too controlled. Oh, you know what? She did call out Jody, the temporary conservator She said, even that's getting too much now.
Didn't she say, you're reminded me a lot of my dad.
My dad, yes, very, very damning. Then when she said to her of her father, like, he gets off on it. He loves having that power over me. It really, and we have seen bits and pieces of it. And for the record,
we have glimpses of it.
Yeah, there's still so much we don't know about that and the family drama and dynamic of that. I keep talking about in the Discord, like, it has to be a power thing or a control thing that he lives in this dumpy trailer but has her money, like, I guess, stored away somewhere. Because clearly, as I keep saying, we are not seeing displays of lavish wealth from him. Like,
no.
It's not like he mysteriously has a mansion and shit like that. Like, he's living a dumpy, sad life.
Yeah, with, like, femme fatale tour props in front of his RV.
So it's like, that part of it has always thrown me, because I'm like, what are you doing with her money and also living like shit? Like, what? It would make more sense if I saw the money being displayed.
Yeah.
But it's a power thing.
It adds to the confusion of it.
Yes. As somebody pointed out in the Discord, it may very well be that he's just hoarding it to have that power over her in a bank account or something. So super sick and sad. And clearly there's some demons there with him as well. I think across the board, it had always been said that her father was trash, because record label people, you know, people who work with in Vegas, like, everyone's just like, he's difficult to work with. There's talks of him being a drunk. So that's like what was coming out in the paper the day before her testimony, was like, she had concerns that he was drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, that was in the paperwork. So there's that. And then the other bombshell that we haven't talked about yet is the IUD, which frankly sounds like a Handmaid's Tale dystopian nightmare plot to force her to not be able to have kids with Sam. Or I guess, who knows how long this was, other boyfriends maybe. That is so sick and gross. And to follow up on a point before about the possibility of jail, I had just seen, I was walking over, there was a Rolling Stone article about the legality of that. And they debated, I haven't read it yet, but they debated the legality of making her have the IUD. And I believe they concluded that you cannot do that.
No. That's the other thing is, like, they've lied. Like, yeah. I remember them saying this whole time, we cannot force medical decisions on her.
Right.
And we did not.
It added to our confusion.
Yeah. And I remember being like, I was like naive, and I'm like, okay, well, I would read it and I'm like, what is the laws of this? And it's like, okay, it says that they're not going to force it. They said that they don't. And they lied, not once, but like multiple times.
Right. Right. So it's already off the table. Like, so I don't think, you know, I don't think that this can pass for.
No, absolutely not. I want her to sue him for this.
Yeah.
Specifically for this. And I hope she wins back every single penny that she's had to pay him.
Absolutely. And everyone else involved. If it's Lou, if it's who.
Well, we can get to everyone else next, but we can start there.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely. It is so nefarious and gross and just, oh, I do think this will be a turning point, not only for her, but for the culture. And I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm also learning, I'm just reading now about how complex it is to get out of conservatorships generally. Mm-hmm. And that even experts said it would take years just through the legal, because we would always complain on the Legends Only pod that like every court case took another 3 months. It was
long time.
To think that somebody just said all of that to you about their care and you're just gonna be like, all right, see you in July. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, how are you not having, I don't know, like
an emergency meeting?
So I guess I'm pretty alarmed, and I should have known that like nothing in this country is good or like legal or whatever. Like, everything is so fucked that this could be allowed to happen. Like, that somebody isn't in there right now, like investigating that, because those claims, there were at least three bombshells that were like ground shaking. And so it's so horrifying to think that she could say all of that. And they're like, well, next session. I think she's also very discouraged by the fact that she does have to technically, I guess, like sue or like fight it, which would, I think, is why the experts.
File motions
yeah,
or something.
The experts say it will take years because like the formal process of that would be like a full trial or something. Like, but I'm wondering if because it's been demonstrated as illegal or things will come out that it was illegal, that it could be expedited.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm just at a loss for words for like the legal system in general. And like, I mean, like I've lost so much, not respect, but like our position like 2 years ago was like, well, surely something this heavy couldn't be in place.
I think there was a lot of confusing things around this whole thing. Like, I mean, oh, we didn't even talk about it, but like when she mentioned Miley.
Oh, yes. The Miley and Paris moments. Right. Right.
Yeah. I think for me, it was like, you know, hearing from people that were like, oh, I just ran into Britney hiking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw Britney and Sam.
Yes. It was very contradictory to like
everything was so confusing for so long.
Because I don't think like in general, like in life, like I don't think you can only be depressed. Obviously, she's had moments of highs throughout the years and stuff.
But it can come and go.
Yeah. Yes. But yes,
it
added to the confusion of, wait, but she's out hiking, so maybe it's not that bad. But you don't know what goes on behind closed doors once she's home. Like, those were maybe her brief fleeting moments of, like, freedom, and then it was hell on earth when she came home. We don't know. It's certainly sounding like it. So, you know, we had the Miley moment in there as well, where she was, I would say, like, a little bitter that Miley gets to smoke on stage and be imperfect.
She had an extremely valid point.
Of course she did. That one, I'm not, like, going to inject my personal... I wonder, like, if she is longing to not be sober or what the deal is there. Like, she did seem proud. I think she does want to be, because she wanted to see the AA meetings and she wanted to meet her AA friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely her choice, but it is sick.
But it should be allowed to be her choice.
Exactly. I didn't want... Like, it is my choice that I don't drink anymore, but it is my choice. Like, if she is forced not to, then that sucks. Like, she should be allowed to choose that. Or, like, her team of people who don't control her should say... We all agree, you know, with Britney that this is good for her to not drink anymore. It shouldn't be a forced thing. So that is like very alarming. And so she said, you know, yeah, I don't want to be this pretty perfect. Like she was like, but my precious body, like I can't do anything to, but Miley gets to do that. It was definitely like a jealousy or a bitterness that like she...
Well, she was calling out the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah. She had to present herself as perfect.
Yeah.
But Miley gets to make mistakes.
Or they're forcing a sobriety on her by running tests on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
someone
else who is under the same management is allowed to do, you know, a substance on stage, which it's legal, you know, in California, it's whatever.
Sure.
But I think she was calling out hypocrisy, and I do think...
I just want it to be her choice, whichever way. And I did find the line, the heartbreaking also, like, I should drink because of what you've done to my heart.
Yeah.
She was basically... So that makes me think it is her choice that she doesn't.
Yeah.
She's just like, look, you're trying to break me, and yet I won't. Yeah. So that was heartbreaking as well. And then also the Paris thing was a really good insight, because she said, you know, I just thought people wouldn't believe me because I saw the Paris documentary and I didn't believe that could be, or heard about it before she saw the documentary and didn't think that could be true. And I was an outsider, because I'm learning. We've all kind of heard the story that life is stranger than fiction. Like, maybe it was just as bad, but worse. And so, you know, get back to pride. Like, I'm incredibly proud of Britney, because conservatorships in general are for people who are mentally impaired to the point where they can't make their own decisions. Like, that's legally what it's allegedly for. There was an article. Oh, I think it was a TMZ article, which whatever. But they did report that, like, a lot of people started calling in to the legislation around conservatorship, like transparency or, you know. That they had their own issues with their conservatorships and stuff. But I do think she is changing the conversation around conservatorship reform. And culturally, you know, Britney, this is not the first time that she has shifted the culture, not just because of her music and art. She, in 2007 and beyond, caused a shift in paparazzi law. And she was the guinea pig, as we said, the experiment for how you push somebody too far. And we learned, not that we were doing it to her, but we saw that that is the extent that you can push a human before they break. So we created laws about, like, just how far you can go. I mean, those upskirt photos don't happen anymore because we pushed her too far. Mm-hmm. It was awful. So once again, I feel she's shifting culture, because now we're going to be like, what are conservatorships? As we joked about in the live chat, we didn't even know how to pronounce it for most of the Britney podcast, because we were like, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like something that protects her. now there's going to be a lot of conversation around it. Is it even something that should exist, or how should it be run? You know, there needs to be a transparency that clearly isn't there. Why should it take years for her to get out of it if it's proven bad? It's going to spark a lot of that conversation, legislation possibly, which I'm really proud of her for. And to be fair, though, those fighting on the front lines of the Free Britney movement were saying end conservatorship abuse. They were saying that there's examples of it happening to other people. So that is something that is now being brought to light. And so I'm incredibly proud of her for sort of leading a movement. And she acknowledged it. She said, like, she said, you know, there's lots of people like this that are have issues with theirs too. Mm-hmm. She's researching, clearly. We discussed that in the live chat too. We were like, I wonder how though, like, because we always have the questions about the phone. Is it Sam's phone?
Yeah.
Is she taking out books of the library? I don't know.
It almost feels, and I'm reading between the lines here a little bit, which is probably not fair to do, but
yeah,
it almost seemed like her phone was used as a like punishment. Like she had access. Mm-hmm. They took it from her. Mm-hmm. Then they gave it back to her, and it was like being used as like some kind of a thing.
Like, yeah, it's very possible. It's monitored or it's limited, like a kid's function where you can only see certain things. We have no idea. So I do think that this is ultimately a good thing in a storm of horrible, horrible, horrible news. Like, her speaking out was crucial. It will crack this whole thing wide open. It's fair game now. She said so. I think the pressure should be put on with each passing court date for answers. And I think we should just clarify, like, we stand with Britney 100%, like, want her to be happy and to be out of this thing, out of her father's control, and just in a space where she isn't taken advantage of for once. You know, I know there's like talk of like, oh, I hope she'll get back to performing or music. And we've said it by the end of Glory and stuff. Like, if Glory's it, Glory's it for us. I'm okay. Like, the stuff she's been through, I don't need anything else.
I don't even think that can be on the part of the conversation right now. It needs to be her and her health and safety and well-being and happiness
right.
need to come first before we even talk about it. Like, I know I've talked about Legends Only. I'm like, oh my God, I would love if she worked with Phineas. And like, all that we need to put to the side.
Exactly. Like, I hope that that is something that we can like all agree is like not something we need to like discuss yeah. right now. Like, right now, she's not performing because of this.
No. And I also felt like hearing her talk, it wasn't, I felt like there was so much neglect. Like, she was neglected.
Uh-huh.
She was abused and she was neglected
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, I mean, even with the stuff with like COVID, where she was like, when COVID happened,
right.
No one gave me help with self-care.
I believe it was inferring that there was a lie there. There was like, oh, because of COVID, you can't get pampering,
which
massage,
is bullshit.
Whatever.
If anyone watches Real Housewives of New York City, they put their hair and glam people in fucking hazmat suits.
Well, that's the thing is like,
and made them have their little moments.
I think she was basically saying, I believe I was lied to because my nurses came in with new nails.
Yeah.
And why wasn't I allowed to, and her mom got to go to the spa or something like that, she said as well. Again, I'm wondering how deep it's going with her mother, because I believe that was another time she threw her under the bus. So I just think that this is, you know, going to change the whole trajectory of this. The conversation around her, around conservatorships in general, the fans, we can start to step out of, you know, the superficial things like talking about music and touring and just start focusing on, okay, there needs to be a focus on these court dates and like
her well-being.
Her well-being. So we wholeheartedly support her, denounce this mistreatment of her, and just want her out of this thing and like into the care of good people. Like, I'm not saying a conservatorship. I'm saying she needs the care that she wants.
And I felt like she was asking for it.
She was. Like, she was like,
despite the anger and yes. despite the confidence and the assertiveness in her voice,
uh-huh.
I also heard someone who was asking for help
mm-hmm.
in a way that was, it was like heartbreaking, but she was so assertive. I don't know. Like,
it feels like she
sense?
Knows what she needs and it's not
yes.
this.
And she's being neglected.
Yeah.
And what's being done to her is not what she needs. And
exactly.
she's asked, like, I felt someone when she said, I'm depressed and I cry every night and I'm not being helped and
yes.
I'm not being heard. Oh, that was the other thing that really stood out to me was she said, I'm not being heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a really powerful moment. I, you know, the whole if Britney can make it through 2007 thing is now child's play. It's if Britney can make it through 2008 and to this present day is literally what it is now.
Yeah.
Like, it somehow jumped from one frying pan to the other of like bullshit for her. What we thought was a helpful thing at first has only actually exploited her. And it's so disgusting that that testimony can be said and that she can just go right back to the alleged care.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think this changes her story in such a monument. I think this is like a, what's the word that they say? Like a tectonic shift. Is that the right saying? When they say it,
it's
big. Yeah. I'll just say that. I'm not very good with words, as everyone knows. It was a gigantic, massive, earthquaking shift in her story as a person. Because to me, we've always said this. The thing I think where they fucked with her team and the people around her fucked up is they think that people only care about pop star Britney, which could not be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. We care about human Britney.
Exactly.
And that's where they really fucked up is they don't understand the amount of support that she has as a person.
Right. You can't throw out The Zone. You can't throw out a Glory re-release because it's, a distraction from this situation. Yeah. It's not going to work. And it's, I'm not judging any fans who indulged in that stuff or not, because a lot of fans did go to The Zone. And I feel terrible that fans might feel guilty or terrible that they engaged in things that but it's not our fault that we didn't know what we didn't know. But at the same time, yes, they are trying to throw us off the track by having pop star stuff. And it's
Pride merch.
Yeah. It's fuck all that. And there better just be radio silence from all of that shit. Nobody's going to buy anything anymore. Certainly now that we know all of this for sure from her own mouth. It's she's always been saying people had always been taking advantage of her. Remember In The Zone, Out All Night? I don't like people a lot ever.
Yeah.
Just she's always said it because it's always been the case. Always.
She's always been exploited. Always.
So to that point, and what I said, I did a little Twitter statement when Framing Britney Spears comes out. I don't want her legacy to be that she is a victim. She is a victim of something right now. Mm-hmm. She's, as she said, and for the record, I've been placed in that category. I've been placed in that box. I don't want her story to end in tragedy. I want it to be a triumph in making sure that the same story doesn't get told about her. Because I
think last Wednesday was the turning point that is taking us out of that.
Yes.
Because the way that she spoke and the confidence that she had, I believe that it will get better because I heard it in her voice and I heard it in the way that she spoke that she's not going to let this win against her.
And I think if she feels at all, if she can sense at all that she is believed, then I think it will drive her to continue and turn down things and to step defiantly.
Yeah. She blew the fucking roof off. She literally, it's the foundation, she literally
burn it down to the fucking ground, Britney.
And I think that will the confidence. And I think when you have a moment like that, when you've been through trauma or you've been through shame or you've been gaslit so much, and you have that moment where you break and you see that, I don't have to pretend like everything's fine and people are going to rally behind me.
Yeah.
It's going to completely change when she sees, which I hope she's seeing, because I know that sometimes her comment sections can be really mean, but I hope that there's a way for people in her life who support her and rally behind her. I hope there's a way for that to get in.
Yeah.
Because it's going to completely empower her even more than she was when we heard her speak on Wednesday.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a really excellent point. And it was very poignant in the live chat because we had gone through a lot of heavy discussions about all the various, legal papers coming out and all of the ways that she's been probably corrupt, the corruption around her and the abuse around her. And ultimately, the story is resilience with her. We've, our knee of so many of those years was resilient knee and stronger knee, because it's that is what her story is. And I want it to be. I want her story not to be of perpetual victimhood, but of triumph over so many forces of evil. And that
I think she knows it. I really
do
believe
she knows it.
Because did I say this in the live chat where I was talking about her spirituality?
Yeah.
There is something, I feel like she is connected in I know people joke and they say God-ney, but I really do feel that her resilience comes from, and I don't know, I don't want to cast, speculation about religion or any of that stuff, because that's obviously her
prerogative.
Yeah. I mean, I'm spiritual, but I don't subscribe to one specific thing.
Yep.
She's connected in some way. And I do believe that that gets her through and that's going to get her through.
Right.
And I just find it so inspiring.
It is. And I do think that she does turn to faith. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I do think that at the end of the day, personally speaking, like I feel even more inspired by her than I thought I ever could.
Mm-hmm.
Because just when you think, because that was the whole, if Britney can get through 2007, was already the point that many people felt inspired by her. And now it's like, I'm even more inspired by what she has gone through. And I hope that she feels the level of love and support and anger and fury and all of those things, and just knows that she's right, she's good, she's held by people, she's heard, and
I think that's so empowering to be heard.
Yes. So I'm just at the end of this whole thing, even though it was a very difficult testimony and a hard
haunting
thing to hear, I'm really glad. I'm just really glad.
I had like a fire. Like I heard the fire in her voice, and there was something in that that made me feel like this will be okay and she's going to get through this, because it was in her voice.
I mean, we didn't even talk about maybe our favorite line.
No, we didn't. One of the standout lines of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't good. I was great.
I was great. And that's exactly what she was.
Because I know, I mean, obviously we've talked a lot about like literally her entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like this may be the only time in her career where she's called herself great.
It may be.
I really feel like
we always say like queen, humble queen.
She's never been like, I am a fucking queen.
Right.
I am great. I am the best. And to hear her say that, I think that line and the giggle were like, okay, she still has that fire in her, mm-hmm. and that's not going to burn out easily.
It was such a different sound or delivery. It's not a song lyric.
Oh, the delivery of the way delivery, she said. And I
wasn't
play it.
Good.
I would love
I was
to
great.
Play it on here.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go to jail where right. certain people should hopefully be going soon.
But that just line was like, fuck. And
the Southern accent was there too.
The Southern accent. We love
that.
That.
Like,
yes.
I
that's how you know it's real.
Yes, and not to like make light of it, but like we always say, like when the Southern accent comes out,
yes,
she's pissed. And
absolutely,
the Southern accent came out, yes. And I was like, you fucking tell that,
yes,
rat,
yes.
Period, bold, underline. I didn't read the statement because I heard it, but I was like, that should be in size 72 font on the front cover.
Well, I will say I read it first and it was bad enough, but then when you hear it, it's a whole other thing. You do have to hear it. It's everywhere.
The way
it's YouTube,
that she delivered
everywhere.
It, the inflection.
The inflection.
Is that a word?
Yes, it is a word.
Okay.
Exactly. And I ultimately is empowering. And I wonder if... Because we've kind of wondered if Sam is sort of hyping her up and reminding her that she's a legend. Remember, she was posting with like her trophies a little while ago. I wonder if he and just her, whatever access she does have to like the internet.
And I mean, obviously it's not like any of our business, but like, because I've seen him share stories about his mental health journey.
Yeah.
And his fitness journey,
right.
Which I mean, I think is very connected. And I've always like, I feel like he's such a good, I don't know. There's something there. I feel like he inspires her.
Yeah. As we said in the live chat, like we have no choice but to question literally everyone in her orbit, but.
Right.
This has been the longest lasting and seemingly most wholesome and sort of good for her relationship that we have.
And he's held her hand through.
Yeah.
I mean, not just staying with someone through like a pandemic and like.
And through like probably the worst of public. Like he's been dragged with tons of theories about him and he's still here.
Yeah.
So I would like to believe in him, and I would like to believe that she is getting a lot of that she can lean on him.
Yeah.
You know,
his lioness, which I do think is, it's like cute, but like there is an edge to it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like,
I mean, tiger, burning bright, like all of the stuff we talk about,
there's something there.
Yes. Yes. There's something there. I would like to believe in that for sure. That, that it's all good and wholesome and real there.
And they're on vacation right now.
Yes, I believe so. That's, you know, I talked about at the beginning, but like, I hope that we get a bit more live. We've never gotten a live of them together, maybe on his Instagram. I want evidence of her current whereabouts and current mood.
I know, I kind of do, but I kind of don't.
Oh, I should clarify, if she wants to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes, like if she goes on her balcony and is like, look at my amazing view. Yeah. Then yes. Yeah, but yeah. I don't want anyone else hounding her down with like the pointed zoom lens. No.
Yes. Exactly. Well, I think that ultimately she will probably feel more empowered from this as she moves on and sort of like feels the ripples from this.
Yeah.
We waited a few days to process this, and we waited to see if anything would come out from this. And so far, even from the live chat, I don't feel anything's changed. I think Lynn made like a 3-word statement that was like she was very concerned for her daughter or something like that. And Jamie's trash response through Vivian was just like, "We're sad to hear she's sad. We love her very much," which was.
It was so like, "I'm sorry to hear that you're sorry."
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It was very like, "Oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way."
Yes.
Like, very dismissive.
It was infuriating.
Fucking rat.
And then Jamie Lynn has deactivated comments, I think. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see on all that because they have not said a word yet. And we'll fucking see, I guess. But ultimately, you know, I think we're kind of at the end of our journey with what the testimony was. But I hope that everyone who's listening has, you know, felt that this was sort of like a therapeutic experience, because I do feel like
it was tough.
And it was hard. Like a lot of
it's
fans,
not easy to listen. Like, we did talk about, you know, there are moments where, you know, the fire comes out in her voice, but I'm not going to lie. Like, it's extremely difficult to listen to
of course.
A fan.
Oh, yeah. That's why I avoided the audio for 24 hours. I did not want to hear that because the words were bad enough. So, but we're in such a unique situation. Britney fans always kind of have been, that I hope we can all sort of like mourn and celebrate her simultaneously. And
don't say mourn.
We have to mourn what we thought we knew.
We have to
reconcile the fact that like it is very possible. It's just a mourning of like, you know,
things that we may have been told.
Yes.
Almost like an illusion.
She may not have always wanted to do the meet and greets because of, we know how stiff and scary they were to her sometimes. Like, we just don't, you know, it's okay. But now we know.
Yeah. And maybe if it had been done differently in ways that she wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
that's a whole other. Yeah. We did talk about meet and greets on the live chat as well. But we're so, so, so proud of Britney. That's the ultimate takeaway of this thing. Proud of Britney. It changed everything.
Oh, it absolutely changed everything.
And to the point about the Pride merch, like, you cannot release.
I need to unfollow them right now, actually. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to unfollow that stupid fucking account.
What account?
The Britney Spears store.
Oh, I was never following that. But I think you cannot.
Official Britney store, unfollow.
I don't think that they can push out. And I know that the label is a separate entity from Britney, but now they have to understand that they cannot do anything right now. They cannot do vinyl re-releases. They cannot do bonus tracks and shit. It's too, you know, they were trying to make a bad situation good by doing shit. And I do think that she probably wanted to do the Glory release if we don't know.
I do think Glory is a little bit.
It was her baby.
I said in our Discord, I was like, we stand Glory because Britney stands Glory. Yeah. So that is okay.
Yes. I think we've had
we can keep streaming Man on the Moon.
And as we talked about the one time that a friend had told me that she had said conservatorship in that interview, that she had gotten around it to make Glory.
Right.
Like that she got her way. Yes. Jonathan Ross, I think.
Which we talked about in the 2016 episode.
Yeah. So I feel like, again, I think it is okay to touch her art. I don't think it's okay to put out more things right now from her label or for anyone. I mean, certainly her fucking team, which should all be dismantled and destroyed. But I'm just ready for this new era. I'm ready for.
You know what I was just thinking about? That moment in Atlantic City when I had that opportunity to cuss out Larry Rudolph.
When you were peeing
in the rest
next to him?
When I was peeing next to him. And the only reason why I didn't is because his kids were there.
You should have said, you should have just peed on him.
Ew. I'm not that kind of gay.
Well, anyway,
no kink
shaming. I know, there was a way. No.
No, but like literally the only reason why I didn't was because his kids were there. And I was like, how horrifying if like a stranger just came up and like, I didn't want to scare the kids.
I know. You fucking ass.
Retrospect.
Yeah. You know, we had always throughout the podcast been like, fucking Larry, fucking this, fucking that. And now it's like, that's why the domination episode, especially, we're like, she doesn't want to be there. Why are you doing this to her? We always were like, why are you forcing this? She has social anxiety. And that's what we thought all it was. But it was like, it's clearly deeper than that. Like, she just fucking didn't want to do that tour. Anyway, just summarize and everything. We're just really looking forward to Britney getting her way.
Yeah.
For real, her way. So.
And I'm also, I feel like, Because it's interesting, like, over Pride weekends, you know, reconnecting with friends that I haven't seen mm-hmm. in, like, a year and a half, yeah. you know, almost, like, 2 years at this point. Everyone talked about it. I don't Everyone know, but I, like, all it. Weekend.
Yeah, we were we were doing different Pride things, but people kept coming up to me to, like, almost, it is mourning. Everyone's just like, I cannot believe, I'm so sad for her, but I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
It was sad and proud.
It was a completely different conversation. It was. Whereas I feel like a couple months ago, everyone would, you know, people would come up to me and be like, what is up with your girl on Instagram? What's she doing twirling around? And I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Like,
uh-huh.
You know,
it's
and
a very different conversation.
It's a very different, everyone is like, good for her for
good
speaking
for her.
Up. I'm so proud of her. Yeah. I'm stunned at the things that came to light, but yeah. it was just so inspired. Like it has complete, like literally I'm telling, like even on Friday I was like out and it was like strangers. We're like, did you guys see what happened with Britney Spears? Yeah. And I'd be like, of course. And then it would just be like these random people I'd literally never speak. They didn't know I had a podcast.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, it has completely changed the conversation from mocking her
yeah.
on Instagram to we're going to rally behind her.
Yeah.
And we're going to support her.
Absolutely. I'm really proud of her. I think, as I keep saying, I hope this was therapeutic to people to kind of feel all the feelings about the testimony. I am really looking forward to seeing her out of this and watching everyone. I will say, despite our opinions evolving, I'm not the right person to like lead this sort of thing. There are documentarians, there are lawyers, there are people in the know who have been doing the deep diving for 2 years and will continue to be. And I think they are clearly shining a light on something that went wrong and should be continuing to do it. I wholeheartedly support her. What needs to be done, shed the light on it. But like, I think still we're not going to be the ones who do like weekly recaps of what's been.
No, I think, I mean, we cover things as bigger stories
come out. Yeah. I just want to clarify that because it's like, I have always felt that there are people more suited and educated about this that mm-hmm. can lead that march. And yeah. so, but we wholeheartedly support. And I'm also just like kind of excited that maybe this is naive thinking that I feel like the fans maybe are just generally more on board as a whole. Whereas yeah. we were all sort of infighting about who's bad.
Yeah.
Maybe we can all get along and just.
I feel like it's a collective rally.
At this point, yes. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I think the locals are on board.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's when you know shit is real.
Yeah.
We've got the locals out here with pitchforks.
I agree. They're playing Toxic. They only know that okay. song, but they're like,
playing Toxic.
Free her, but we only know Toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Addicted to you. Don't you know that Jamie Spears is toxic with their exactly. pitchforks?
Yes. Yeah. So I just would, I do hope that I'm glad that there's sort of like a sense of community around her now that feels more united than it did in the past. I've hated the past 2 years, to be quite honest, because we all care about her, but we all showed it in different ways that we felt was the right thing to do for her. And now I feel like now that she's given us permission, said it explicitly, everything, I feel like we're all sort of on board.
Yeah.
For the most part, 100%. On the same page.
I agree.
So I'm just looking forward to that too. And yeah, I'm also, I feel very relieved in general.
Yeah.
So
we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, obviously we want this momentum to keep going.
Yeah. As far as us, I feel like if you're interested, if you're just Britney Pod listeners, that's fine. But we're going to keep talking about any major developments on Legends Only every week.
Yeah.
We will keep having.
The next case happens.
Yeah. Yeah. July 14th, I think.
Which.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so soon.
It's really soon. Well, good.
How is it July already? Is it July yet? No.
Yeah. Well, 2 days.
Oh.
And then I think we're going to do, we will keep doing live chats. Now, their intention was to be more lighthearted. And I do think they'll mostly be lighthearted. But you can join us for those as well.
Yeah. But it was nice to have that.
It was definitely a therapy session as well, getting our first thoughts about this. And yeah, so if you're looking for more of that, there are a lot of accounts now that are doing updates day to day about the things that are coming out. But, you know, we support. And
we do have the Britney section on Legends Only.
That's true. On our Discord, the girlies are keeping us all abreast of the latest developments as they come in. So that's been super informative as well. So just know we're out here supporting her. And and we support those who are doing the deeper diving. Again, you know, there are people who are looking that one up.
Yeah.
So
should we start trying to find a venue for the Jamie Spears is in jail party?
We definitely
You
could.
Can DJ.
I could DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
We are ready for it. God. I just pictured her like at the DJ booth.
Oh my God, that'd be iconic.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Well, I think we've certainly said enough and sort of debriefed from that. I hope that everybody is doing well. If you're from the Britney pod, hey, it's been a while, and Legends Only will catch you weekly as usual.
Yes.
With the usual, much more lighthearted tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we really appreciate everyone who's listening. And
I can't wait for the week that I can roll the high fashion editorial theme song, and I can say that it's Jamie Spears in an orange jumpsuit. Sorry, I need to get off this. I can't.
No, I love it.
One day, let's manifest it.
Yeah. We got to put it out into the universe. That's right.
High fashion.
Oh my God. Maybe that really will happen.
We'll see. First.
We do put things in the universe. So, all right. Before we get too carried away, we can wrap this thing up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for the support. Give that support to Brittany, and we'll keep an eye on everything that develops. You can catch up with us all sorts of different platforms at this point, the Discord, Legend Only Pod,
mm-hmm.
and any major breaking developments. I suppose we can do dedicated Brittany Pod episodes again. However, to clarify, that was a limited series that was meant to just be about her career.
Yeah.
And it took a sharp turn.
Oh, that was the one thing we talked about in the live chat, where we told everyone, we were like, the Brittany podcast was... like, fuck you to her team.
Yeah,
always,
it was.
Like,
yeah.
It literally is like, you don't celebrate
You don't
her
celebrate
enough.
Her career, so we're going to do it ourselves.
And it was like, no one was hyping Britney enough to like have her feel confident to be like, I'm a fucking icon.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're going to do it.
Well,
let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So like, it was literally like a fuck you to her team to be like, since you're not going to celebrate her 20 years, we will. But now she's on board because she knows she's great.
Exactly. I love that. All right, everyone. We hope you're doing well. We will catch up with you soon. And until next time,
we will
see you
soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.